Previously.tv Podcast Network.
It's a little early in the morning for wallowing in self-pity.
Hello, everybody. This is Again With This, Beverly Hills 90210. Today's episode is Season 9, Episode 3, Dealer's Choice. And now here are your hosts, Tara Ariano and Sarah D. Bunting.
Hello, Sarah.
Hello, Tara and Dave.
Before we get into this episode, we want to remind you, you can buy an ad on this podcast. It's $100 for a commercial message, $50 for a personal message. Go to previously.tv/ads, plural, for more information. And now, Dealer's Choice, perennial C-plot, Sophie. I guess she was a D-plot because there was enough last week. But she's made it up to the C-plot this week. Sophie is still here, and we get an update on the list in her bullet journal. You can see in the visual aids at previously.tv. She found a place in Beverly Hills. She got money from college, and she's just checked off get start in the business, which I hope she doesn't think she's done by fucking David, because no, that's not going to do it.
One song.
Yeah, she's updating the list on a powder blue vintage Mustang convertible that I'm very sure is the Brandon car painted. Which you can see in the visual aids, make that judgment for yourself.
Yeah, I think so. Hey, Barb, come on by. Graffiti it again.
So Steve comes out to say she forgot her school books and has brought them for her. And also he's come out to jizz all over her cherry new car. Like, what are you, Brandon? But she says she's looking for outside investors, I guess, implying that they could co-own this car. Don't get it. Don't care. It's just to flirt. She also says he can't sleep on the couch anymore, but there's room for two in the bed with an imaginary line down the middle. Take a hint, Steve. He asks her to come to Donna's parents' anniversary party, which we'll get to. And she cheerfully accepts, and he clearly thinks it's a huge deal, and she clearly doesn't. And then she peels out, and he yells at her again that she never took her books. So she's really
Take
not
a hint,
trying that
Steve.
Hard.
Take a hint. But it's Steve. So she doesn't have to try that hard. He's the conniblest mark ever.
It's true. So he follows her in traffic and actually gets out of his car when he's stopped at a light, but he's too slow. Also an idiot. And then watches her walk into a coffee shop where David is drinking. I guess it's a smoothie, but it has whipped cream on top.
And it's like bright red. It looks really upsetting. It looks like a Robitussin Chino. It's disgusting.
Yeah, it's like a strawberry orange Julius, but with whipped cream on top. Anyway, she helps herself to it. She brought him a new track list for his tryout and is licking whipped cream off her finger when Steve comes to the door to spy on them. And the next day he tries to entrap Sophie about having blown off school to hang out with David. She changes the subject to how they were supposed to have platonically shared the bed the night before, but he got home late and didn't want to bother her. And she's like, heavy date? And he says this, clip two.
You know Phyllis Neems?
Didn't she star in Deadly Giveaway?
Okay, this is the third Phyllis in four episodes. That's not a joke. Just to remind you, there was Phyllis, the caterer's ex-girlfriend, in the season 8 finale.
Oh, yeah.
Then there was Phyllis, who was telling Donna, gave her the hookup with the guy at the department store to display Kelly's wedding dress. And now there's Phyllis Neems, apparently an actress of some renown.
What was the last year people actually named their kid Phyllis?
Exactly.
1941.
Seriously.
Oh, yay!
Point being, get a new phone book for the writer's room, because what the actual fuck. But Steve says that he and this Phyllis went to a club that David told him about. Does Sophie know it? She doesn't. And then suddenly, remember, she has been there. She just ran into David there yesterday by total chance. Anyway, the point of the story is that this Phyllis is Steve asked her to the anniversary party. But if Sophie wants him to, he can blow her off like he just did to Sophie. Sophie says, ooh, she'll sleep on the couch tonight, she says, because he might need the bedroom for his movie star. And at Donna's parents' party, which we'll get to, Steve confronts David about this coffee shop dalliance, and David doesn't really have anything to say about it. And when Sophie comes to see him the next day at the Peach Pit, he tells her that whatever they started, they have to stop because of Steve. But she changes the subject to this, his having taken her playlist suggestions. The music is really trying to make us care about this not breakup, and it is really not working. But despite everything, Sophie ends up sitting with Brandon and Steve for David's hideously embarrassing DJ tryout set at the Peach Pit After Dark, clip 3.
This is David Silver on the mic representing the entire hip-hop nation. One love to all the people listening from JFK to LAX. This is KVIB. We're doing a special 2-hour joint live from the After Dark. Let's keep it moving from the vinyl to the speakers with this.
No. No.
Hip-hop nation. I can't breathe.
Yeah, I don't think that David got to pull the entire hip hop nation before announcing he was representing it. Because, oh,
guys, David Silver says we're to your mother.
I would pay so much money for Ice-T to just appear in the wings while this like voiceover is happening and just punch David in the dick as hard as he possibly could.
We look at that. I got some 11.
Also, he's trying to sound all hard. Do you notice that?
Yes, but he's playing like 70s funk. Like, that's not even hip hop at all.
It literally sounds like the which is the average white band.
Yep.
Perfect.
Anyway, Sophie slips away to call David from the payphone by the door, and he's all stressed that he's blowing his shot, but she points out that no one is leaving and basically starts phone sexing him until he tells her to quit it because she's with Steve. But she can't stop thinking about David. And then Steve brings David his paper and compliments for his show the night before, and David invites him in, but Steve can't help asking if Sophie is there because he heard her go out the night before, but David hasn't seen her. They're not together, and Steve is sorry for acting so crazy lately, and he leaves. And when David goes back inside, of course, Sophie is in his bed. She's like, do you think he knows? And David's like, I don't know. But then he does this huge eye roll, like, Sarah, go ahead, since you clipped this for the visual aids.
What did I this was an extremely long file name. Sorry about that, sis. But it was like, yes, Lord Pissface, that's how you act when Laura Layton asks you to come back to bed and fuck her, is to act like it's a huge imposition. He seriously, and he does that, like, eye roll, neck crack combo.
Mm-hmm.
Thing. He's such a pill. Yeah. A pill.
Yeah, he really looks very put upon by all the sex he's having. Like, his life is tough.
Yeah.
On to the B plot. Val tries to ruin another Abby wedding. So we find out Brandon has passed on a job listing to Kelly, but she's enjoying unemployment at the moment. Also, it turns out he left his phone at her place. It was the past where that could still happen and you could function without your phone. Val has been showering Abby and Carl with hospitality and is in the process of doing so when David shows up. Clip 4.
I really don't get you, Val. One minute you plan to crush your mother by admitting you killed your father, and now it's all hugs and eggs, Benedict?
She's my mother, David. Do you really think I was going to hurt her?
Yeah. But I'm glad you didn't. Bye.
But I'm glad you didn't. Bye.
Yeah, it's everything Val wanted. His approval. God.
You're such a tool. I mean, if they're trying to make him the new Brandon, great job. It's working. I want to hit him in the face with a frying pan.
Yep. So when David leaves, Abby tells Val that she and Carl decided to get married in Vegas, and Abby wants Val to be her maid of honor, which Val would love to. And Carl decorously hangs back until Val makes him hug her too, so watch this space. And upstairs, doesn't take long, Val is trying on a slip dress when Carl comes up to get her bags for the trip. She asks him to zip her up, and he's all awkward about it, since in a way, he says he's going to be her father. And Val says this, clip 5.
Well, my father used to zip me up all the time. Actually, we were very affectionate, so.
Oh, that's nice.
Come on, please. I'm not going to bite, I promise.
Carl's faces are hilarious. Behind her, that he's just like doing some kind of little Twyla hand wringing thing.
Mm-hmm.
That this show is like having Val leverage like that she's doing this with Carl is, like, I guess pretty gross, but standard soapiness. Mm-hmm. That they're having her leverage her like fictional relationship with her father, who bad touched her, to seduce her about to be stepfather is disgusting, even for this show.
Super gross and not okay. Anyway, Kelly then walks into the open front door to return Brandon's phone. Carl goes out to the car, and when Kelly asks where they're going, Val briefs her. Abby is going to marry that moron in Vegas unless there's a last minute bust up like Kelly and Brandon had. Kelly then sees a box of her shit under a table. Brandon's phone rings. Kelly answers it, telling the caller to try again later. And it's some broad who is salty to Kelly, who obviously is salty back. Susie needs to know if she and whoever she's calling, spoiler, it's not Brandon's phone, they're on for tonight. Kelly hangs up and stresses and then demands that Val take her to Vegas. And Val agrees, but it doesn't mean they're friends. This makes no sense. This would in no way happen. They hate each other. Moving on. Kelly and Val snipe at each other while Kelly places roulette bets based on the number of letters and various loaded words. And Abby and Carl are all flirty, but she's exhausted and has to go to bed. Val says she'll chaperone Carl. Maybe Val's suspicions are legit, because why wouldn't he go to the room with his fiance? But whatever. Val wants to play the slots. Carl reaches over her to pull the lever because sometimes they're sticky, he says. Gross.
They're all buttons by then anyway. Shut up, Carl.
Uh-huh. But she wins. And elsewhere, Kelly gets hit on by some goon who looks like a tall Chris Kattan. Go to the visual aids and see him. Tell me I'm wrong. You can't.
I was going
to
say a short, young Jim Carrey, but yes, we'll accept that.
Yeah, he does split the difference between them. Good, that's a good call.
Yeah,
his name is
Henry. He totally does.
So then Val and Carl are people watching and judging based on people's outfits. Kelly and Henry are up over $1,000. Carl says he has to go to bed. Val follows, telling Henry this, clip six.
Oh, by the way, she doesn't blow on dice.
All and right, his writers, reaction fine. Is kind of hilarious. I made a gif of it where it's like, wait, she doesn't? Which is very amusing. So then Carl and Val continue people watching on their floor. She asks if he is tired and comments that they don't put clocks in hotel rooms. So the guests think it's a good time to gamble. Does he think it's a good time to gamble? She goes in for a kiss and it takes a while, but not a crazy long time for him to stop her. And she's pulling her sweater up on her shoulder when Abby comes out saying that she heard them, but it's all innocent as far as she knows. And Val goes back to her room and she finds Carl drinking alone the next day and flirts some more. Kelly and Henry also shooting craps and flirting. She does, in fact, blow on his dice and they get 12 the hard way, but she misses it because she's looking at a bride. And Val, of course,
slow-mo.
Yeah.
Really? Like, this was a whole episode, folks, that people paid to put ads on once upon a time. Horrendous. Yeah.
So Val, of course, surprise, does get Carl to fuck her and tearfully regrets it. Kelly sees him coming out of Val's room, which she's sharing with Val, and says she'll catch a plane the next morning. The first thing, Val cries. And from here, Kelly's storyline crosses over with Brandon's in the A-plot, so we will catch back up with her in a second. But the next day, it's the wedding. Val fumbles, giving Carl the ring to put on Abby, but they proceed, and Abby and Carl are married. Val shakes his hand in congratulations until Abby chides Carl, and then he hugs Val, but it is awkward. This is probably not over. Finally, our A-plot. Noah and Donna have both suicide drama and stolen design drama! Exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark. So Kelly gets passive-aggressive asking Donna if Noah is going to be moving off his boat and into their place because he's been sleeping there a lot lately. Which, bitch, you have a whole other room he could live in. I know it's the Scribblearium right now, but still. I also don't recall there being a conversation when she invited herself back in there. Post Emma cheating incident, but
yeah, seriously. Also, his father just offed himself.
Yeah,
give him sleep a minute.
Yeah, I know it's hard because he's so annoying, but you know, he is grieving. Anyway, Donna doesn't know where Noah is moving either, but she wants to take care of him. And then Jordana Spiro from My Boys shows up asking Donna for revisions. Her name is Carrie here, and Donna hired her to help Donna with her sketch revisions. She, of course, sucks Donna's ass about how amazing she is in clip 7.
You know, why they need revisions is a mystery. I mean, your originals are very rad. God, if I had your talent.
It would be a huge step backwards, but nice try.
I mean, at least they gave Donna that line, and Donna is continuing to look cute in this episode-ish. Yep. I don't really feel if she's taking a work meeting like she should be wearing shorts that show her butt cheeks, but that's me. At least we can't see the cleaver in the scene. True. Yeah, this whole storyline, well, I guess we'll get into it, but whatever. I don't think I see why we're supposed to be offended on Donna's behalf when the rich man's Beverly Mitchell steals her designs when she totally did that, what, 8 episodes ago when she was on Las Drogas?
Like, right, but that was her excuse. She never would have done that otherwise.
It was her disease, which we never heard from again.
Nope. So Brandon shows up with coffee and is about to leave with Noah to go and get his dad's stuff at the police station when Donna says she wants to go, and Noah's like, no. And after he's gone, Donna pouts that she wants Noah to live with her. Which, by the way, like, maybe ask Kelly. Like, not that it's Kelly's decision, but she does live there. You could have a conversation about it, but whatever. Kelly tells Donna to tell Noah that Donna can't. And at the police station, Brandon is, of course, extremely sensitive about the situation. JK clip 8.
I want you to write the obituary.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. You got the wrong guy, buddy. My plate's full as it is.
What is that tone?
What?
Also, what is that tone?
That's all you did during a whole summer internship.
Yeah.
You might not remember writers, but I do. The Boston Glab or wherever he was working. That's all they had him doing.
Yeah.
Is A. B, even if by trade he's actually a plumber or electrician, this is not how you respond to a friend asking you to do you this favor.
Right.
To do him this favor. Jesus. My plate's full as it is. With what? Designing your own neckties with puns based on your newspaper? Fuck off.
Yeah, even if you don't want to do it, like, don't try to get out of it like you're fucking Bugsy Siegel. Like, I'm extremely honored that you would ask. I never met your dad, though, so maybe I could just help you write it. Is what a decent person would say.
Or, I mean, if he's that big of a big shot, I mean, okay, unfortunate choice of words. I apologize. right. If he's that grand of a poobah, someone, some stringer at AP has already written this.
Yeah.
Just use that. No problem.
No, it's true. But it goes on also badly. Clip 9.
All the other papers want to write is Daniel Hunter, businessman legend.
And this is a bad thing?
When honoring a man, it usually involves telling the truth.
What, your father wasn't a legend?
You gonna write the piece or not?
Daniel Hunter.
Businessman. Legend.
He's so bad. Noah
he's
is
like, are you gonna write the piece or not? Like, now he's annoyed? Like, yeah, you should be. Brandon's a douche who sucks at writing. Find someone else.
Yeah. Noah is very emotionally ready for all of this and for sure picked the right person to come with him to collect his father's things from the police station. Again, JK Clipton.
Plastic bag. How suitably transparent. You're giving me his gun? It's some kind of sick joke? My father blew his brains out with that thing.
I understand your suffering, sir. But this is not a warehouse.
So what am I going to do? Hang it on my wall?
Hey, come on, let's go.
I'm asking you a question.
Come on, let's go.
It's okay, let's go.
Just when I think they can't sink any lower. Like, oh, here's a, you know, member of the gang now who has just picked up the weapon that his father chose to end his own life. It's so good. I love it. I really do.
Yeah, and about that, I mean, I guess there's no legal reason that the police wouldn't be like, maybe we shouldn't give him this gun. But I feel like maybe they would just, like, lose it until he asked for it and then be like, oh, yeah, here it is. I don't know.
There has to be some protocol Yeah. Like, I also don't understand if it was ruled a suicide on the scene. I'm not clear why they wouldn't have just I don't know. I don't know how these things work. And I apologize if I am being ignorant and insensitive. I just don't think I understand why they wouldn't have like a victim services advocate or something right. come out and be like, so here are some things that we got from the scene. What would you like us to do with the following extremely triggering items? I don't know.
Yeah. Triggering.
Also, could you please make Brandon Walsh leave the building?
Insensitive.
Sorry. Thanks for the tip, Dick.
Donna is coming out of the Peach Pit after dark with some kind of fashion person, which is where she learns something fishy is going on with Carrie. Clip 11.
Yes, yes, for the third time, yes.
Really?
You know, you and Carrie have this nice good cop, bad cop thing going.
And Carrie?
Oh, you know, she comes in all poise and confidence, and then you show up at lunch with the aw shucks routine. It's very effective.
Right. So what's our game plan?
Well, the timing couldn't be more perfect. By the way, did I tell you how impressed I was with Carrie's presentation this morning?
Carrie's presentation?
Your partner did an excellent job.
Partner, I don't have a partner.
You know, truth be told, I was thrown at first myself. But after Carrie explained the changes, your working process, she's very proficient.
I'm sorry, there's been some...
Oh, and the home office in Chicago? They can't wait to see your stuff. I got them chomping at the bit.
Right, so there's a lot riding on this.
A lot? Donna, if this line gets the go-ahead, you make women's wear daily, and I get up to West Coast manager I.G. Nesbitt Department Stores of America, and believe me, I am not the type who forgets his friends.
At no point is he like, why is she acting like this? It's like she's, and also, why is she acting like this? Just play along yeah. and deal with it later.
Yeah, or forcefully stop him and be like, this is not... Like, this is not the deal. I need to know exactly what happened at that meeting so that I can, like, you know, respond to what the client wants. And I also don't understand who he even is.
Right.
Is he a department store buyer? I don't.
Well, they must be a manufacturer or something because he later, spoiler, hires Carrie in-house. So. I don't know. Okay. And also, why wouldn't he be like, why do we need to have another meeting? I just met with Carrie. Anyway, yeah. Donna doesn't have time to spin out about this because then Noah has shown up. And when she goes over to see how it went at the police station, he's just playing with the gun in the front seat and creepily saying it's beautiful. The shot that you clipped for the visual aids is so good. He looks like a monkey. Like
he does.
It's so stupid.
A monkey who is simultaneously fondling the gun and smelling his own upper lip.
Yeah.
While fighting off a sneeze. It's yeah. a so lot of acting and none of it is good or in the same zip code as what he's trying to do.
Oh no. So she thinks maybe he should put the gun away. And he's like, did you ever see one of these go off? And then fires it into the air as if that isn't like adjacent to how Gwyneth ended up with a bullet wound like 4 episodes ago. And reasonably, Donna freaks out. He says at least she dropped the Florence Nightingale routine. And then is like, you ever wonder where a bullet lands when it's shot in the air? And I just want to say, as I'm sure I've mentioned on this podcast before, my parents live in Pakistan. Apparently, it is the custom there to like shoot machine guns in the air for holidays. And people get killed all the time. Like 100% a bullet falling from the sky that's been fired upwards can still kill someone. So good job, Noah.
Yeah. You hear about this all the time after like championships sports ball that some jackass is on his front porch like, ooh, and then it lands on some grandma like 2 miles away.
Yeah.
I shouldn't be laughing.
No, we're really being very insensitive. Storyline. It's the show's fault. Donna yells at Noah that when he's done with his tough guy act, he will need someone to talk to, but he ignores her and she's right. But I wish that I could ignore her also. And then I guess Brandon is writing the obituary because he's at the Hunter's house that they suddenly have, interviewing Mrs. Hunter about her late husband.
He's extremely sweaty.
Oh my God. He's so shiny. He looks like he's been laminated. It's crazy how shiny he is.
It's gross.
She says that the late Mr. Hunter resisted going into the family oil business because he wanted to be a sculptor, but he had one badly reviewed show in New York, and then Hunter Oil became his life. He lived and worked for a company that he loathed 24 hours a day, and she thinks it's because he had become numb. And when the company collapsed, he did too. She tells Brandon to print that he hoped to be an artist. And so Brandon, still using this shitty tone, goes to report this to Noah on his stupid boat, which it still is for now. And Noah is once again, or still, playing with the fucking gun. He doesn't believe that Mr. Hunter had an unconventional bone in his body and is also being very knockoff Dylan in this scene. Lip 12.
Such a weird choice, 357. I'd use the shotgun.
You're the one who wanted the truth.
Problem is, a guy wants to blow his brains out. Can't reach his hands to the trigger. I read Hemingway used his big toe.
Oh, boy. So, for sure, the guy who thinks it's Mozart, the composer, knows Hemingway's suicide trivia.
Oh, do you know why Hemingway used his big toe? Because he had said a farewell to arms.
Officially, that's terrible. Oh my god, wow. We've lost all of our listeners. Bye, everybody. Brandon is not at all alarmed by Noah's manner or the gun he can't stop playing with, and is all pissy, saying that Noah can't know all the pressures his father was under. And then this exchange happens. Clip 13.
I'm sure he loved you very much. You sure about that?
Yeah, I just said I was. I used that word. Like, was this bad writing or bad ad-libbing slash a line fuck-up is what I would like to know.
I would also like to know why you would ask someone who just asked your mother why her late husband, who took his own life, isn't smiling in any of the family pictures on display. Yeah. Fuck off, so, both of you.
Honestly, the next morning, Don is helping Noah pack his stupid boat as if they didn't just have a fight the previous day, because we didn't see anyone apologize, but whatever. Pack your own shit, asshole. Of course, it's Donna. She's there. Update on the Carrie story is that she's ghosting Donna. Noah pouts that it doesn't matter how they label the boxes. He doesn't want to hear that Donna's still worried about him, and angry cries badly that he thinks about Mr. Hunter every night, but he was selfish and he never loved Noah. And at the paper, Janet and Brandon argue about the placement of the obituary in clip 14.
Put Angel Bra on 6.
We do better sales with it on 3.
Come on, guys. Angel Bra. I have a dead pillar of the community who hated his life. That's news.
Yeah, but if you ask me, I think it's a stretch for doing an obituary to begin with.
She's right.
Ew.
Our readers want movie information, music news.
I know what our readers want, Steve. Why not give them what they need?
To reflect on the life and times of some dead rich guy?
Steve, Daniel Hunter was a blank. He was a missed opportunity. But he left us with a legacy, not about Angel Bra sales, but about the fact that we need to take control of our lives, to do something meaningful, to not settle for average. Nothing?
What the fuck is going on?
Are they making stuff about Brandon, like, having feelings about the suicide and making him reevaluate his own life? Like, is that what's happening here?
I think so.
Also,
I
mean, that music in the background is the music they play when the cops are playing a prank on the gruff captain in the precinct.
Yeah, totally. I mean, yeah, it's all of a sudden Brandon is having this like derpe DM moment. And then it's like, nah. Like, well, okay. Based on how eager we are to get rid of him, sure, play it for laughs. I don't know.
And also, of all of the reasons to be mad at this clip, which are many, why should this newspaper care about how good sales are relative to where they put an ad in the publication, and how would they even know that?
Also, Mr. Hunter was a pillar of either back east or a Houston community.
Yeah.
They don't live here. You're the Beverly Beat. Let's just move on.
Okay. Brandon and Noah end up together at the bar at Donna's parents' anniversary party. And again, Brandon is one of the few people who knows how Noah was practically making out with the instrument of his father's suicide and yet is letting him get drunk in public and fucking off here because Brandon sucks and doesn't care about people. And Donna watches him pouts. And then Dr. Martin makes a point of bringing over a friend of his whose name is Lou Jessup. He's of the New York Chronicle. And this happens, clip 15.
Doc Martin says you're a writer.
On occasion, when I haven't had too much scotch. For the Beverly Beat.
Oh, that Brandon Walsh. Oh, well, now it all fits. Yes, I read it often.
Really? Fire Marshal Bob saves Fluffy the cat. You read that?
Why, something wrong with it?
Now, let me get this straight. When Fluffy's owner donned her birthday suit instead of her usual bourbon-stained nightie to greet those big, handsome firemen, that was cutting edge journalism to you? Right.
First of all, if you're going to subtweet me, just use my name. It's a lot faster. And I don't spill that much bourbon, so go fuck yourself. Second of all, I really hate TV characters who are supposed to be like folksy or blue collar or whatever the excuse is. Just say Dr. Martin. Don't say Doc. Am I going to live, Doc? Like, just say Doctor. It's one more syllable. It's right there. Goes with also, it. It's fine.
If you're like friends enough with him to be at his anniversary party, like say his name. Like, what the fuck? It's not like Brandon doesn't know it.
Oh, Jesus. And furthermore, look, even I, who do not drink scotch, but that's not the point, probably. Mm-hmm. Even I would be like, oh, you're the one. Like, if you've been introduced by your friend's dad to this, like, legendary journalist from the New York Chronicle, maybe try to keep a lid on your own self-destructive jackassery for 2 seconds. If I can do it, it's totally doable.
So toasts are just starting when Noah charges, like, the stage of sorts and drunkenly makes a scene in clip 16.
Hickory dickory dock.
Oh, hey, come on. No,
I'm just
no,
kidding.
Really
I'm
think...
kidding around. Seriously, though. Felicia. Whoever you are. It's...
Thank you, Mr. Hunter.
I'm kidding. When Don and I get married, we're going to have, I don't know, like 150 kids. And half you geezers won't even be there. Because you'll be dead.
All right, that's it, Mel. No, I want you out.
Come on. To the Martians.
I mean, he is good at acting drunk. Finally, they found his lane and poured him back into it.
Donna, of course, makes a baby cry face at this, which is horrible and has been gifted by me. You can see it in the visual aids. And Noah was apparently so drunk that the next day, David has to tell him what he did. And Donna shows up for her big meeting with that guy, but he makes her wait an hour until eventually Carrie comes out. Donna accuses her of taking credit for work she didn't do, and Carrie tells the receptionist to call security. Good job, Carrie. And is unapologetic because it's her word against Donna's. And Donna tries to shake her confidence before flouncing out, but like, Carrie has been hired in-house. What does she care what Donna thinks of her? At the beat, Brandon is still raging about where this obituary is going. And Steve realizes this is all about the Chronicle guy and Brandon's bitterness and tells Brandon to just call Lou. And Donna has moved the doodlearium al fresco to the deck when Noah shows up to apologize for the party.
Doodlearium al fresco. Everyone just take a minute. Tara, ladies and germs. Okay, so proceed.
He already called Dr. Martin to apologize and says that Dr. Martin was nice and understanding about it. And you know that he did not talk to Felice at all because she wasn't. But
yeah, anyway. Bye, Felicia.
Donna doesn't know why Noah wouldn't let her help him. And he changes the subject to her work. She tells him what happened and everyone feels bad. And then Carrie comes to the apartment to tell Donna she was right. This guy, Jankowski, hated all her designs and fired her. And she came to tell Donna she's sorry. And inside, Donna listens to a message from this guy trying to hire her instead and deletes it. Brandon, meanwhile, is very good at job interviews. No, he's not. He's terrible. Clip 17.
Hardly the watering hole for a correspondent just in from Kosovo.
Well, tell me, is this how you always put your best foot forward?
Sorry, journalist reflex action.
I mean, the other night it was Fluffy the cat. You trying to sniff out a job or not?
Would it help if I picked up the tab?
Look, truth is, my tennis buddy's a member here, okay? He gets me in whenever I need to impress.
You want to impress me?
Is that so hard to believe?
Yes! Lou, call your agent immediately. God. Why? Oh, Jesus. Truth is, I was going to call you is like his next line. Like, why? Did you need an ugly necktie?
So Lou gives Brandon the Donna Martin treatment, meaning acting like he's great. There's a job opening in the LA Bureau and Lou recommended Brandon. They want to meet him. And Donna goes to see Noah while he swabs the decks on his stupid boat, tells him that when he said he was selling it, she thought about asking him to move in with her and still wants him to move in. And he gives her his best slash worst cry face. His mother found a suicide note in his father's sock drawer. He had hoped Noah could forgive Mr. Hunter's weakness, but Noah weirdly sobs that he can't. And Donna in her Barbie hand, classic Barbie hand, coming back to comfort him. You can see in the visual aids. And after Vegas, Kelly goes to Brandon's and demands to know who this Susie is on the phone. But as I already spoiled, it's not his phone. Belongs to some car leasing guy who, for some reason, went to Kelly's home to try to get her to lease a car. Not how that works. She feels like an asshole. Brandon tells her he isn't seeing anyone. She brings up the box of her shit. He says that seeing it reminded him that he was alone. And tells her about the job. She tells him she tried to forget him, but it didn't work. But it almost did, which makes her sad. It doesn't make me sad. Wrap it up. Wow, this really? Is taking forever.
Stop having conversations about how sad you are that you broke up. Like, either get back together or get him off the show.
Yeah, I think today. The next episode is it, right? Isn't the next episode the one?
I think he's, like, at an interview and then he comes back to leave again.
All right, soon. Soon, soon.
Soon.
Let's name our MVP. Oh, I mean, I want to say Carrie, except she got fired. So.
I'm going to go with Noah. I laughed nonstop. Good job, Noah.
Yeah, that's fair. I'll co-sign that. Least valuable player. Carl for sleeping with Val. Gross.
Brandon for being Brandon. Mm-hmm. Gross.
Good choice. We have a user submitted challenge.
I scored some amazing stones.
A Thomason 11 on Twitter asks us to list 5 ways this season of 90210 would be better if Deshaun Hardell was a main character on the show instead of Noah.
Oh, well, man.
He probably could have prevented his father or literally anyone from committing suicide by promising to smile at them once.
Also, he's Black Lightning, so he could literally have prevented just about anything he wanted to.
Oh, that's true. He wouldn't live on a stupid boat. He has some sense.
He would be with Donna, which is what I feel the universe intended all along. And Aaron Spelling interceded because,
oh my God, yes.
Racist turtle.
He also probably wouldn't have bought a money pit like the Peach Pit after dark, and then we wouldn't have to go there all the time and look at its dumb set.
Next time on Again With This, the internet ruins everything once again when Steve catches Sophie and Lord Pissface together. Valerie ruins everything for Abby when the seduction of Carl is revealed, and Matt is too flavorless and boring to ruin anything exactly, but he's here to replace the show's hilarious version of journalisming with an even more risible take on attorneying. You'll want to sue our visual aids for intolerable cruelty when you peep them on our website at previously.tv. You can follow that website on Twitter at previouslytv. And you can follow this very podcast at AWT90210. I am Unsmiling Family Portrait, Sarah D. Bunting, and I am on Twitter at Tomato Nation. My co-host is Angel Bra Tar Ariano, and she is on Twitter at Tar Ariano. And our producer is Peevish Property Clerk, David T. Cole. We'll talk to you next time.
Hi, you know what to do after the beeparoni.
This has been a production of the Previously.tv Podcast Network.